It said, Happy Holidays. And I thought, well, either they're real early this year, or they've still got their old sign up. I believe that's the old sign. But that's an out-of-date sign, you know that? That's out of date. But I'm glad the Bible's never out of date. I'm glad it's just exactly what you need for that day. And I rejoice in God's Word. Amen. I was reading about this man years ago who was traveling in Japan. And he said that it was very cold there. He described it as Arctic conditions. But what shocked him was that tropical plants were growing, including orange trees. And come to find out, the area had once been a volcano, and there was still something of the volcano underneath the ground still in existence. And there was heat underneath the ground sufficient to cause tropical plants to grow in an Arctic wilderness. That's amazing. And it's also amazing how that God's people in an Arctic world can still thrive and survive. We've got a heat source people can't see. We're tapped into something that the natural man does not understand. But I'm glad we cannot just exist, we can thrive in the midst of this cold, dark world. Amen. Yes. Let's look, please, for a few moments at Hebrews 11, the latter part, verse 35 and following. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Our text says, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Hebrews chapter 11 is the Christian Hall of Faith, or sometimes called the Christian Hall of Fame. What great encouragement is to be found in this chapter. Our text says, concerning the men and women in this passage, of whom the world was not worthy. Of whom the world was not worthy. We're thinking on the subject, unworthy. I want to say two simple things. First of all, I want to say that the world is not worthy of Christians. There are only two groups in existence. There's the world and Christians. You're either part of the world or you're a Christian. You may not be a good Christian, but equating the word saved with Christian, you're either still belonging to this old world, under Satan's control, still lost and undone, or you're saved and you are forgiven and heaven bound and you're a Christian. So these two groups are as different as night and day. And we all used to belong to the world. We all used to be lost. But thank God we're saved, and now though we're in the world, we're not of it. Oh, we're in it, but we're not of it. It's all right when the ship's in the water, but when the water gets in the ship, that's something different. So we're in the world, but we're not of the world. So there's the world, and then there's the Christians, and the world is not worthy of the Christians. Why? Well, just think about how a Christian treats the world, and think about how the world treats a Christian. Christians love sinners. They hate us. We're always trying to help them. They're always trying to hurt us. We pray for them. We try to live right in front of them. They don't appreciate a bit that one bit. In fact, they'd rather you wouldn't. They'd much rather you not live the Christian life because you make them uncomfortable. They actually resent the way you live because it reminds them, for one thing, that they should be saved and they should be living for the Lord. And every time they see you, they're reminded there's a God. Jesus died on the cross and I need to be saved and I need to be living right. So they just hate the very looks of you and me. That's right. Do you remember being lost? You remember how you'd go out of your way so you wouldn't see Christians? Walk or turn your back in the grocery store, actually cross the street sometimes? The world is not worthy of Christians. The Bible says that. The truth is, the world wishes we were silent, stopped, and out of the way. While we're blamed for everything today, Nero blamed the Christians in around the year AD 64 for that fire that destroyed a lot of Rome, and Christians have been blamed for almost everything ever since. Blamed for the weather, blamed for all the problems politically, economically, socially, and militarily in this nation and in every nation in the world. Oh yes. You believe in the right of the nation of Israel to exist? You're the reason there's a problem in the Middle East. We believe that it's a sin to murder the innocent unborn children. Why, we're the problem. We're considered the problem. The liberal news media paints you and me, who believe the Bible, as a bunch of bandits, fanatics, ignoramuses, and outlaws. Oh yes. We're blamed for everything. All we want is for people to get saved, enjoy their life, have a good Christian life, go to heaven one day. That's all we want. We're not trying to hurt anybody. We're not trying to hurt anybody. Look at what the world did to these people I just read about in these verses. These are decent, law-abiding Christian folks. What happened to them? Mockings, scourgings, bonds, imprisonment. They had to wander around in the desert, mountains, in the caves, chased out of town, stoned with stones, cut in two with saws, slain with the sword, afflicted, destitute, tormented, tortured, martyred by the millions for doing what? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And the Bible says the world does not deserve to be around good Christian folks. They don't appreciate them. All they try to do is get rid of them. All they try to do is get rid of them. What did they do to Jesus when he came to this world? Tried to get rid of him as quickly as they possibly could. The world is unworthy of Christians. I don't know if you've ever seen it in that light. And I'm not saying we're any better than anybody else, because we're not. We used to belong to the world. But if you have the idea that as a Christian, everybody's going to be glad for you and thank God for you and pat you on the back and just rejoice that you're saved and reading your Bible and living right, I'm sorry, that ain't going to happen. That is not going to happen. You'll find encouragement among God's people, but outside these doors, they despise the ground you walk on. And the closer you live to God, the more they'll despise you and start treating you like they did these people in Hebrews chapter 11. And this has been 2,000 years, but human nature never changes. Well, the world would never admit this, but it's the Christians that's holding this thing together. We're the salt, we're the light. You think politics is bad now, you just wait till we're gone. And the Antichrist takes over this thing. Study history. Study profane history, sacred history. You study it all you want to from anybody's viewpoint you want to. It's been the churches down through the centuries that have fed the hungry, clothed the naked, built the hospitals and all other charitable institutions and organizations. You take away what the Christians had done, and this world would be a disaster area. It would be nothing but a jungle if it wasn't for the Christians. Thank God for the Christians. Wherever Christians go, you'll find that the level of society rises and you have decency and morality and you have laws and you can walk the streets at night. And wherever you don't find that, friend, it's a very, very dangerous, dark, and deplorable place to be. If you don't believe that, you go to China, you go to India, you go to South America, you go anywhere you want to go where there's very little Christianity, and you'll see that face to face. The most unselfish religion in all the world is Christianity. Take away the Christians and this old world's going to rot. If everybody was a Christian, do you know what would happen in this world if everybody was a Christian? Well, whoever makes burglar alarms would go out of business because Christians don't steal. Amen. Have to fire 90% of the policemen and wouldn't need any more jails. That's right. And all the other things associated with man's sinfulness would not be necessary anymore. You wouldn't even have to lock your doors at night. That's right. And you wouldn't have to spend so much tax dollars for the corruption in government. Did you know if everybody was a Christian, that'd be the answer? That's why I'm looking forward to the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Most everybody will be a Christian. Not everybody, but most everybody. Well, I'll think for just a moment about a few of these people here. I'm just going to say a few words. I'm almost done. A few of these men in Hebrews 11 and how the world was not worthy of them. There's Noah. The world was not worthy of Noah. He was a good man. He was outnumbered millions to one. They laughed at him every day of the week. Oh man, what are you doing building that ark? They laughed him to scorn. They didn't appreciate him building that ark. That whole generation was unworthy of that good man, Noah. Enoch, what a good man he was. He walked with God. There's only two people in all the Bible that says he walked with God. One was Noah and the other one was Enoch. His sinful generation was altogether unworthy of him. He had this testimony that he pleased God. The world was not worthy of Enoch. He was not, for God took him. Abraham is mentioned here. Don't you know they laughed at him for turning his back on the wealth of Ur of the Chaldees and the comforts of home and living like a nomad and wandering through the desert all those years? They didn't deserve to know a good man like Abraham. Man of God, man of faith, the friend of God. They were unworthy of him. They never understood him. They'll never understand you. He mentions Abel, and the list is numberless. And it is evident. If you don't believe it now, I don't think I could convince you. But it is evident, as this text says, that the world is not worthy of Christians. Amen. One day there's coming a big separation too. The world is not worthy of Christians. That leads me to a second point. Just far more evident, far more profound, and with far greater consequences. And that is, none of us is worthy of Jesus. Amen. He's altogether holy, and by nature we're altogether unholy. We don't deserve Jesus. He loved us anyway. He wanted us anyway. He saved us anyway. That first century world you read about in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John was not worthy of Jesus. They didn't recognize Him. They didn't appreciate Him. And the 21st century world that we live in treats the Lord Jesus the same way. They don't appreciate Him. Most time only the only use of His name is in vain. They don't acknowledge Him. They've even changed A.D. and B.C. to before the Common Era. They've tried to remove Him from the science books, the history books, take Him out of the song books, take Him out of the Bibles, take away Jesus and just put He. strip away his deity, take the crown off his head as Creator and God and Savior, this world we're living in tonight does not acknowledge or recognize or appreciate the Son of God. This is the 21st century crowd I'm talking about. Just as much pagans as any generation that's ever lived, is just as in the crazy and so intent on entertainment and selfishness as any generation that's ever lived. They rushed Jesus off to a Roman cross. They despised Him, rejected Him, just like people do today. They didn't deserve this one so gracious, so loving, so kind and good and pure. This one who did nothing but good. This one who went to the cross and took the punishment that our sins deserved. They didn't deserve Him. They didn't deserve those tears that He shed over Jerusalem. They didn't deserve that rich, red, royal, redeeming blood that He shed for them. They didn't deserve it, but He gave it anyway. They didn't appreciate it, but He shed His blood anyway. And there are people in this room tonight, you've rejected Him all your life, but He still loves you anyway. They didn't deserve a single thing He ever did. We don't either. We don't deserve to be saved, but thank God we are. We don't deserve all the blessings that we're loaded down with every day of our lives. We don't deserve all that, but He just blesses us anyway, in spite of ourselves. We don't deserve to go to heaven, but thank God we're going. The only thing we really deserve is the one thing we ain't going to get, hell. Amen. If there ain't no other reason but smile, come to church, shake people's hands and sing the songs, is thank God you're saved and you're not going to hell. If you never got another blessing all your life long, that'd be enough to thank Him for, that you ain't going to get what you really deserve. That's the wages of our sin. That's a paycheck. That's what you get. That's what we deserve, but thank God we're not going to get it. So all I can say tonight is unworthy. Just unworthy, totally unworthy of the Son of God, of such love that's been lavishly poured out upon you and me, freely bestowed upon a whole race of sinners, Adam's fallen race. We're unworthy tonight. We deserve nothing, but we're going to get everything. That's grace. That's God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace. That's what I always tell every cultist that I talk to, every Mormon, Jehovah's Witness, Seventh-day Adventist. Every time I meet them, I always say the very same thing. Sir, if you understood what grace was, you wouldn't be what you are today. You're trying to earn something that's free. If you had to earn it, it'd be a reward. Or it'd be a purchase if you had to buy it. But thank God Jesus did the doing. Thank God Jesus paid the price. It's free. Accept your free gift of everlasting life and be saved and go to heaven and make Jesus your hero. Not Mary Baker, Ellen White, or Joseph Smith, or Taz Russell. Friend, you need Jesus. You need to be saved. You need to understand what grace is. I'm glad I know what grace is. Everything for nothing. That's why it's called the gospel. No wonder it's called the gospel. Well, we're unworthy, of whom the world was not worthy. It's not only so that the world does not deserve Christians and is unworthy of Christians, but it's far more true that we're all unworthy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why He'd have anything to do with such as you and me, I don't know. I believe it. I rejoice in it. And friend, it's going to be something we're going to think about and shout about forever and forever. I like what Jacob said. He said, Lord, I'm not worthy of the least of all Thy mercies. Not worthy, Lord, of the crumbs that fall from Your table. I like what Ruth said to her husband, Boaz. Even before they got married, she said, I don't understand why you've taken knowledge of me. I'm just a stranger. You know who I am? I'm nobody. I'm a Moabitess. I'm an idolater. And you're a rich Jew. And you're going to be in the family line of the Messiah. I'm nobody. But you want me to marry you. And she was just surprised. And she just said over and over again, I'm unworthy. And I'm sure Rahab would say the same thing. Rahab the harlot from Jericho got saved, an ancestral line of the Messiah, unworthy. Nobody. I'm a nobody. Isn't it wonderful what God can do for nobody? I like what Mephibosheth said after he'd been fetched up from Lodebar. Ziba brought him up in the royal carriage, and he comes in front of King David and says, King David, I'm just a dead dog. I don't deserve to be here. I'm a cripple. You could kill me for what my grandpa tried to do to you. And David said to him, no, I'm going to treat you like one of my kids. You're going to live here at the palace, and you just be sure and come and eat at my table every time the bell rings. I'm a nobody. And I know, but I'm doing it for the sake of somebody else, King David said. He's just no nobody, just no cripple. But he lived at the palace and ate at the table. When we get to heaven, we're going to say, you know, I'm a nobody. I ought to be in hell. But looky here, where I'm sitting. Talked to John the Baptist this morning and Abraham this afternoon. I'm going to have supper with Daniel. Amen? We ain't nothing, but he is. And it redounds to the praise of his grace, what he's done for us. And we don't deserve it. We don't deserve nothing. But I'm glad we're going to get everything. And we're on the little end of something big, I'll tell you that. And I praise him tonight that though we're unworthy, he took notice of us and he's given us everything. Those Indians down in Ecuador, in the 50s, when those five young fellas went down there to take them the gospel, you know what happened? Nate Saint and Pete Fleming, Jim Elliott, a couple other guys, dropped packages down to those Hawke Indians, befriended them, tried to bring them the gospel. Those Indians killed those five young men. Those Indians did not deserve those five consecrated young Christian men. But you know what happened? The word spread all over the world that five young men had given their lives trying to bring the gospel to this remote tribe. And people volunteered all over the world by the hundreds and the thousands. I'll go. I'll take the gospel. And five young men died, but millions have stood up and said, I'll pray, I'll give, I'll go. Those Indians were totally unworthy. Well, I'm glad some people loved them and were willing to give their lives. And I'm glad the Lord Jesus didn't just stay in heaven and say, I love you, but came into this world, took on humanity, went to the cross, and proved beyond all doubt that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Nobody's ever done for you what Jesus Christ did for you. I'm glad He looked our way. I'm glad He took our place. We were unworthy. Don't you ever forget. Don't you ever forget that on your best day, you're just a sinner that got saved by the grace of God. You deserve to go to hell. We ought to be in hell tonight with our back broke, crying and screaming for mercy. But here we are sitting in a Baptist church with family and friends holding the King James Bible, saved and know it and on our way to heaven. We're blessed tonight. We ought to thank God. What more could God do for you? You're living in the best country in the world. You're sitting in a Baptist church holding the King James Bible. You're saved and you know it. The next thing above this is heaven. Amen. And we can't hardly get a holy grunt out of most people the way it is. We just happen to be the most blessed people in the universe. That's right. Don't ever forget it and don't ever get over it. I say with Paul, God be thanked. I say as we shall sing and when we get to heaven, worthy is the Lamb that was slain, who's redeemed us to God by His blood out of every kindred and tongue, out of every nation and people. The world's not worthy of Christians. They will not appreciate you. They'll hate you. Just love them anyway. Let your light shine, be a testimony, be a blessing, and after they get saved, they will love you. Yeah, they will. And they'll come to you and they'll apologize for hating you. That's one good way you'll know they really got saved. Every now and then somebody will come up to me and say, Brother Allen, when we was in school, I hated you. But since I got saved, I appreciate you. And I say, I think you really got saved, or you wouldn't have said that. Amen? Yeah. Most of all, we're unworthy of Jesus. What a Savior. We ought to love Him with all we have and all we are. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Close our eyes. Tonight we're going to pray. After we pray, we're going to sing Amazing Grace together.